Teen can be a challenging one, especially when you think, as a lot of people do, concerning this election, that it just feels like no matter what happens, we're going to lose, doesn't it? And either way, there's going to be a president that you might not fully agree with. But yet, Paul, in Romans, gives us some specific instructions. But the first thing we need to realize that is, as Christians living in this world, we are residents of two kingdoms. This is how Luther talked about it. We're residents of two kingdoms. We are resident, all of us here, of this kingdom that is called America, and we're residents at a specific time, that is 2013. And so we have duties and obligations as residents and people in this realm here, but we are also, as Christians, residents of a heavenly kingdom. The scriptures talk about us as being having our citizenship is in heaven, and we belong to that. And so this morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 13 and think about what it means to live as a Christian in this realm, what scripture would have us do when it comes to living under those who have authority. So if you have your Bibles open, it would be helpful. We're going to look at Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to read the first two verses once again. Paul says this, "Obey the rulers who have authority over you. Only God can give authority to anyone. And he puts these rulers in their places of power. People who oppose authorities are opposing what God has done, and they will be punished." This can be a challenging word, can it not? Paul is telling us that every authority that is there, that is above us, is put into place by God Himself. That is an astounding word. Especially when we think of all the rulers and all the authorities, all the officials that have ever had a place of authority over us, from civil, local government all the way up to the highest in the land, we can name countless examples of authorities who are less than godly, can't we? And authorities who would very much be in a disagreement with things that are in Scripture. But God has put them in place, as Paul says. And not only that, but three times in this passage, Paul refers to these people that are in authority as God's servants. And that can be even more challenging to understand, especially when we know that there are people in places of authority all throughout this world who do not even for a second acknowledge the Lord as even existing, as even having a place of authority, that the Word of God is just words on a piece of paper. Yet Paul would have us know that we are to obey them and that they are God's servants. And so what does this mean? What is the purpose for the people that God has in place, whether they acknowledge God or not? Paul gives us that instruction here. He tells us this in verses 3 and 4. Rulers are a threat to evil people, not to good people. There is no need to be afraid of the authorities. Just do right, and they will praise you for it. After all, they are God's servants, and it is their duty to help you. If you do something wrong, you ought to be afraid, because these rulers have the right to punish you. They are God's servants who punish criminals to show how angry God is. According to Scripture, according to this book here, those who are in authority, those who are considered God's servants, have a duty on this earth, and that purpose is to bring civil order. to be to praise those who do good, and to carry God's sword of punishment to those who do wrong. They have a purpose in this world: to praise and uphold those who do good, to punish and bear the sword against those who do evil. They are God's law upon the earth, whether we like it or not. And again, as we continue to read this, I know that there are questions in your head, as there are questions in my head, like, how can this be? Or what if this happens? Or what if that happens? And we'll get into that a little bit. But we need to read this first and hear exactly what Paul is saying, because this is the plain reading of this passage. So those in authority have a specific role. They are there for civil order. What then is our responsibility, according to Romans, as people living in this realm on earth? That's simple. Verse 1 tells us clear and plain: obey the rulers who have authority over you. This includes police officers. This includes parents, if you're a child. This includes our local government. This includes senators. This includes president. God tells us plain and clear: obey the rulers who have authority over you. Only God can give authority to anyone. Scripture talks about this, and that by obeying a ruler, we are indirectly obeying the Lord who put them into place in the first place. By disobeying the ruler, we are then disobeying God's given authority. Romans goes on to tell us a little bit about how this might play out. Verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "You must pay your taxes. The authorities are God's servants, and it is their duty to take care of these matters. Pay all that you owe, whether it is taxes and fees, or respect and honor." As we look forward to elections, this is the command that Scripture has given us in how we live as citizens on this earth: to pay honor, to pay respect to those who are in authority, whether we like them or not. And I know for some of us, this is going to be a real difficult thing to do come Wednesday. Now, of course, in all of this, there is a problem. Because in an ideal world, God could tell us, obey the rulers, and we could look at the ruler, the person who's in authority over us, and see that this person is a God-fearing man or woman. They know the Word of God. They try to live by it, and everything that they do policy-wise, they try to be informed by what God would want them to do on this earth. They go to worship every Sunday. They study the Word on their own. They are a prayerful person. In an ideal world, we would happily obey that person who has authority over us. But the problem is, we don't live in that ideal world. That authority, like everything else, can be abused. You have been given eyes and ears and a nose. And God has given you these things for a purpose, that is, to see, to smell, to hear. Even these simple things you can use in the wrong way. You can use what God has given you in your eyes to look at things that you should not look at. You can use your ears to hear things that you should not be hearing, whether it's gospel or profanity-laced things. God has given certain people authority. And just as we can abuse what God has given us, they also can abuse what God has given them. And so as Christians, we ask ourselves, what happens then when authorities whom we are called to obey, commanded to obey, take things to where we cannot obey them? What happens when authorities take their rule too far? And fortunately, Scripture gives us an answer for this too. And the Lutheran reformers address this also in their Lutheran confessions. And here's what they say. They say Christians are obliged to be subject to civil authority and obey its commands and laws in all that can be done without sin. But when commands of the civil authority cannot be obeyed without sin, we must obey God rather than men. Scripture gives us, to a degree, an out. That when there is an authority placed above us that we are called to obey and to be subject to, but yet they call us and ask us to do something that goes against the Word of God, we are then to obey God, not human beings. And there's examples of this in Scripture. Paul himself, Peter, also in the New Testament, were commanded by Jesus to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. They were commanded to do so. They had to obey this command to preach and proclaim Jesus. And for both of them, they were put into jail because of it. It went against the civil order of that day. The Old Testament man Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived in a foreign country ruled by pagans, people who did not whatsoever acknowledge the Lord their God, yet they worked even in the government that held them under their power. And when the government asked them to do things that they could not do, they obeyed God rather than men. In Daniel's case, he was asked to eat food that went against the law of the Lord, and he refused to do so. And again, he was asked to not pray, and he wanted to pray because that was what God instructed him to do, and he did it. And because of that, he was punished. He was thrown into the lion's den. He obeyed God rather than men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were asked by the king of the land to worship a gigantic golden statue, to pay homage to it. Again, this went against the law of God. They obeyed God rather than men. But again, they were punished by it. We are called to be obedient, to be subject to those who are in authority over us. But we are also called to know the Scriptures, to know what God has commanded us to do, to live according to what it means to be a follower of Christ. And when those two things don't jive very well, we obey the Lord first before we obey humankind. But in all these examples that I gave you, the follower, the worshiper of the Lord, still was subject to the land in which they lived. And for all of them, that subjection meant being punished for the disobedience they did. And that is a hard pill to swallow. Because they're obeying God on both accounts, right? They're obeying God who says, be obedient to the rulers. They're obeying God who says, be obedient to me. And in both cases, they find themselves in punishment. It all comes down to this reason, that we as Christians on this earth are here to love the Lord our God, to serve Him, and to proclaim His name. And in all things that we do, as we are citizens of this realm and citizens of the realm that is above us, are to work to extend and to magnify the kingdom of God, to glorify His name. Whether that's in our civil disobedience according to God's word, standing up for what we know to be true, and taking the punishment that is due to us on account of that. We do it so that the Lord's name is honored, and that hopefully another falls into his kingdom. There is a cost that comes with being a disciple of the Lord. Sometimes that cost is our rights as citizens of this earthly realm. Sometimes that cost might be freedom, imprisonment, as many Christians in China endure. And sometimes that cost is our life itself. But in all cases, it is the Lord who is glorified by the testimony of his saints on earth. In all of this, we take comfort, knowing that we are mere creatures who have an outstanding Creator. God is not a God who formed the earth and formed his people, put it on earth, and then sits back and says, well, let's see how this plays out. The Lord is intimately involved in his creation. And though we might not understand his plans, as the prophet Habakkuk did not understand what God was doing, we can know that the Lord is in charge, that the Lord has control over all of it. And though his plan might seem the opposite of that, it is always to further his kingdom, to create faith and magnify it in the people that are already his, and to create it and start it in those who do not yet know him. The Lord desires to expand the faith of the people on this world. So as we head into our elections, as we head into a new phase of American politics, we know, first of all, that our God has all things under his control, and that no matter what happens, we are called to be faithful to the Lord first, faithful also to those who are in authority over us. Faithful also, as we'll see later in 1 Timothy, to pray for those who are in authority, that we might lead peaceful and good lives, so that the gospel itself might continue to be spread. Because our Lord desires that all would be saved and know him. Let us pray.